And so I just invite our own Pastor Irene up to continue.
Can I lift this down here? This? Oh. Hi, good morning. It has been a long time I haven't seen you because I'm away, like for the whole past month in Hong Kong to visit my mom. So it's so good for me to see you and to share with you God's love this morning, God's words this morning. So may I ask a question? The question is, well, is it a practice in the English congregation that after worship service, you will go out together for lunch? Is it a practice here? Oh, okay. Okay. So I wanted to share with you a story, okay? A group of believers went to a restaurant for dim sum lunch after worship service one day. And they were enjoying the food and the conversation when one of them asked another lady in the group and said, "Hey, Judy." We don't have a Judy here, right? Good. Oh, okay. Judy, not Julie. "Hey, Judy, why haven't we seen you coming to church for these past few weeks?" And Judy answered, "Well, I've been too busy with studies lately. Plus, there have been lots of assignments and projects due. I've been so busy that I hardly had time to sleep. Never mind about coming to church to worship." Then someone else, let's call him Ed. Do we have Ed here? Okay. Okay. So Ed told the group about how inconsiderate his neighbor was. Apparently, during the snowstorm last month, the neighbor just piled up the snow that he cleared from his own driveway and put it onto Ed's property. And Ed indicated that he had the urge to call him out. But as a Christian, he kept quiet. But he felt that he had been abused by the neighbor. And that prompted someone else in the group to pop up to say, "Serving at church is not that easy. You give up your time and energy to serve, which in turn reduces the time you would have with your family and friends, plus less time to rest, which will be fine if all goes well. But the fact is, when all is said and done, you might have to endure some criticism or other people's displeasure as how things are done." He felt frustrated and expressed that he was not sure why he should continue to serve. Have you had similar discussions, or have you yourself had similar experiences? These conversations truly reflect that what it is like to be a Christian these days. It is very difficult, isn't it? We are living in a very, We are living in a very competitive world, filled with business and darkness. On one hand, we spend lots of time wrestling to do what the world wants and expects of us. And sometimes we may even have to make compromise in order to achieve that. But on the other hand, we know that we should follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ as we look towards entering into the kingdom of God. Hence, we are caught in the crack between this earthly world and the heavenly kingdom. Competitive and rebellious on one side, holy and saintly on the other. And we struggle to survive under these two tensions. I, at least, find it very difficult. So under such difficult circumstances, how can we live in a way that pleases God? What can we do so that we would be worthy to be called God's children? As we are coming to the closure of the book Acts, let's look at Paul's life, as Apostle Paul is one of the central figures in the book. Let's dig deep into his inner self and learn how this godly man lived his life, since he was caught in similar tensions as we have experienced today. Yet, he successfully bore witness to the Lord, and let's learn from him. After encountering Jesus, Paul journeyed to many different places to preach and to church plant. On the surface, it seemed that he was very successful. But if we look closer, we can see that his success was a very tough one. Just like us nowadays, Paul had to make a living. He was a tent maker 6 days of the week. Only on Sabbath, he would preach in the synagogues. And this is very similar to our lives right now, right? And the money that Paul made as a tent maker was used not only to cover up his living expenses, but also used to support missionaries and to provide financial assistance to the whole faith community. And it is like us making offerings from our own earnings. However, one must not forget the immense suffering that Paul went through during the missionary trips. Now, do you recall what he had experienced? Anyone? He was imprisoned, whipped, beaten with rods, pelted with stones, and went through shipwrecks, and was in danger from bandits. And other than these physical sufferings, he was also in danger from false believers. Now, having gone through and suffered so much, how did Paul view his life? In the conversation that Paul said goodbye to the elders of the Ephesian church before going back to Jerusalem, he disclosed the two main pillars that sustained his life. The first one is the purpose in life, which is total surrender to God. And the second one is the attitude to conduct your own self in life. And that is to live a life of prudence with suffering. And we will go over it one by one. Let's look at the purpose in life, total surrender to God. In the farewell conversation with the elders of Ephesians church, Paul stated what he valued in life. He said that he considered his life worthless to himself, and his only aim was to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus Christ had given him. And that task was to testify to the good news of God's grace. Now, please take note of the three important words in these words, and they are my only aim. Here, Paul had conscientiously chosen to compare his own life to the task of testifying to the good news, and he empathetically had chosen to honor God by sharing the gospel. And his choice demonstrated clearly how faithful followers would totally surrender themselves to God. In order to surrender our own selves to God totally, we must empty our own self for him. And it is like what we do with our phone or computer or laptop storage. And similarly, we need to empty ourselves, particularly the many thoughts and feelings that we have, so that we can hear God's voice and have the space to hold the things of the heavenly kingdom. But the question is, how to surrender and empty our own self to God? Paul pointed out that he did it by not viewing his own life as valuable. He compared his life to that of Jesus, and he then realized how unfulfilled and pointless his earthly life was. Hence, he never thought twice about life or death. His only concern was to be someone who testified to the gospel. Paul focused all his thoughts on the kingdom of God, and his eyes only saw the things of the heavenly kingdom. And because of that, he could totally surrender and empty himself to the Lord. And in applying to us, when we can totally surrender ourselves to God, God's business then becomes our business, and we would view the God-sent ministries as our life missions that is worth our energy and all our might to fulfill it. And that is what Paul did. He was willing to die for the gospel, and he considered all his suffering as inconsequential. Now, you may question if there truly are people who would put out their lives on the line just to serve God and to share the gospel. Let me tell you, yeah, there may be, there are. When one's inner core value focuses on the surpassing worth of Christ, one will definitely see Christ is worthy of serving with all one has, including one's life. For a godly person, being able to surrender totally everything to the Lord and serve Him with your own life actually is what brings glory and joy to your own life. And Paul confessed that from the moment that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, his life was no longer his own. He was united with Christ. Thus, guarding Christ's work equates to guarding his own. And because of this, Paul was able to think about the heavenly things and not to consider anything about his own earthly matters. And Paul's life demonstrated that if we want to get out of the crap between the secular world and the kingdom of God, we may have to adopt Paul's life of total surrender. Otherwise, we may be lost in this dark age that is full of confusions and temptations. Now, I think most of you, or some of you, may have this question in your mind right now. How can we believers today practice such an absolute and almost severe teaching? How can we respond to this teaching to humble ourselves and surrender ourselves totally to God today? Now, brothers and sisters, please do not misunderstand that Paul is asking us to give up everything, our family and career, in order to serve God. Paul is not asking us to do this. Still remember, Paul himself was a tent maker for 6 days of the week. He had to earn a living himself. So what it means is, when we surrender ourselves to God, it does not mean that we have to give up everything to serve the Lord, but rather we are talking about a question of attitude towards life. And more specifically, what are the priorities in our life? A godly believer is one who always puts Jesus Christ first in everything. Studies, career, family, money, health, etc., are all God-given. When it comes to the time to choose, the Lord always comes first. Does that sound very challenging and difficult to do? Brothers, sisters, it may seem difficult, but if you put this thought in your heart and your mind, you will definitely be able to do it. And I would like to share with you one of my own experiences. I'm not so sure whether you are aware of the Total Growth Discipleship Training that is going on in LGC. Anyone knows about it? Thank you. Okay, this program is available in English and also in Chinese. And right now it is held in the Cantonese in LGC. And actually, this program ran many, many years ago. And I remember at that time, I struggled, really struggled, to commit myself into the program. At that time, we are talking about more than 10 years ago. I was not a pastor at that time. I was working full-time elsewhere. And the program itself lasted for 31 weeks. And I knew that there was homework assignments involved, as well as Bible verse memorization. It's very tough to memorize Bible verse, let me tell you. It's not easy. I really admire all those children to memorize the Bible verse in Awana. And also at that time, I was attending BSF. You know BSF? Okay. BSF Bible Study Fellowship also requires to do weekly assignments. So that means if I attend TG and BSF, I have to do 2 weekly assignments each week. And on top of all this, I serve at church in many different ministries at that time. So my first response was, there's no way for me to get time, to find time to attend teaching. No way. But at the back of my mind, I knew that TG was such an excellent discipleship program, and I really want so much to join in order to know more deeply about God. So I started praying fervently for God's guidance. And at that time, I used to take public transit to and from work, and then I would drive from home to church after dinner for meetings. So one day after prayer, I had this light bulb moments, and I said to myself, silly me, I can drive to and from work each day and then drive from work to church after office hour. So that alone will save me 2 hours each day. And I can use this free time, these 2 hours each day, to finish all the homework assignments of TG. And I praise the Lord for giving me this wisdom, enlightening me with this plan. So I joined TG and finished the program at that time. What I really want to say here is, when we hear God's call, but think that we don't have the time or capability to answer the call, somehow, if we pray like persistently, God will make the way for us. As a matter of fact, when it comes to serving the Lord or sharing the gospel, it does not really matter whether we have the capability or the time to do it, but rather whether we have the heart and the will to do it. Because the one who actually does it is the one who calls us to do it. And God is the commander-in-chief, and He is in control. When we have the will to serve the Lord, no matter how busy we are, how difficult it is, we can still find ways to do it, and we'll be able to fulfill the mission. And the crux lies in, how much do we value our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives? Do we have this divine core value in us to see Christ as the center of our lives? Of course, there are many ways to serve the Lord. Some can do it like our LGC brothers and sisters, John and Eva, Noel and Caleb, and also Peggy. Well, these brothers and sisters, they give up their comfort of home and go to distant places as missionaries. Yes, this is wonderful, but that is not the only way to serve the Lord. Do you know that we actually do not have to go far away places to surrender ourselves to serve the Lord? Nor do we need to preach the gospel every single minute of our lives to show that we have given ourselves to the Lord. As we travel to and from school or to work, or when we are studying in the library or doing housework at home, if we always have Christ in mind and constantly ask ourselves this question, what would Jesus do? In that case, we are letting go of our self-will and allowing God to guide us. And when we do that, God's love and the gospel will be spread out, will be revealed through our actions. And unknowingly, the gospel will spread out when we go to church, or when we go to school or go to work, or when we visit our friends or shown to our family. Hence, when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, it does not mean that we have to do anything new or anything that is very time-consuming. All He asks of us is to be purposefully more Christ-like, so that during our interactions with friends, colleagues, and family, they can see Christ in us. And notice I use the word purposefully. It means that we need to seize the moments, the right moments, no matter how small it is, to share Christ. To achieve this, we have to pay attention to and try to understand the person that we are interacting with. And we must always have Christ in our mind. And this takes mental focus. It may be more energy straining than physical labor. But in doing so, we will be rewarded with the joy of exhibiting the glory of Christ in us. So, what about how is life going to be like if we have decided to follow Christ and deny ourselves? Paul warned us to be mentally prepared to live a life of prudence with suffering. In verse 28, Paul alerts us to keep watch over ourselves. But it does not mean that to be cautious of how we act, but rather to focus totally and devote ourselves on the things that concern us. So how did Paul devote himself to share gospel? The scripture tells us that when interacting with the believers in Ephesus, Paul only proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ and preached the kingdom of God without distraction. So let's think about it. How do we interact with each other today? When chatting with brothers and sisters at church, we talk about everything. Mobile phones, we talk about our work, our studies, we talk about vaccinations, our parents, and also our business, shopping, traveling, and et cetera, and et cetera. What we talk about among each other, or among us, is really all-encompassing and diversified. But rarely do we talk about Jesus with each other. Rarely do we talk about Bible and the gospel, maybe except in Sunday school or in Awana. In addition, when Paul preached God's message, he did not leave anything unsaid. He declared that he shared with the believers all he knew about God without any reservation. And he warned the believers that if they sinned in future, he would have nothing to do with it. It is not his fault. When Paul sees the Lord in eternity, he would have a clean, good report card to show him. But as for us, we probably will not keep any truth from others. But it is more likely that we do not have much to tell, as we may not be familiar with the Bible, or we do not really understand or know God's will. Because of that, we dare not speak, and with the little that we do know, somehow we cannot express it correctly. So most probably we stay silent. Paul cautioning us to be watchful is so relevant for us believers today, as we are easily distracted by the things in this world. The businesses and troubles of our lives most of the time have made us breathless. The alluring glamour, the exciting events in our daily lives make it easy for us to put faith in a secondary position. And in that case, how can we talk about denying and surrendering ourselves totally to God? How can we serve Him prudently and wholeheartedly like Paul? In Luke, Jesus gave us an analogy. A wealthy guy put in his donation in the temple treasury. A prolonged jingling sound came out. But when the poor widow offered her two small copper coins, only a light clink sound was heard. But the Lord said, "This poor widow has put in more than all the others, because all these people give their gifts out of their wealth. But she was out of her poverty to put in all she has to live on." So we see, although the widow was poor, she did not retain anything for herself, but gave all she had to God. This is emptying yourself, denying yourself, and surrendering yourself to God. God does not look at how much we can do for Him, but rather what we are willing to sacrifice for Him. If we have only 2 nickels worth of time, but we are willing to give this little time to the Lord by serving Him at church, by sharing gospel, then like the poor widow, we will receive praise from the Lord. Or if we have a dime's worth of capability and we are willing to be used by the Lord, our future reward in the heaven will be great. God does not look at whether we can or cannot, but rather He looks at whether we will or will not. In verse 31, Paul emphasized that believers should be on guard because we are caught between this earthly world and the holy kingdom. We need to be alert because Satan will attack those who dedicate themselves to serve the Lord and share the gospel. And during Paul's time, the disciples of Christ were persecuted by the Roman Empire. So what did Paul do to confront these persecutions? Paul stated in verse 1 in this morning's scripture that he was compelled by the Spirit to go to the Jerusalem despite knowing when the Holy Spirit had warned him that prison and hardships were facing him. He just marched on fearlessly to fulfill the missions that the Lord has sent him to complete. And we can see that Paul's decision to follow Christ has brought him much turmoil and suffering. And we know that if we are truly surrender ourselves to follow Christ, it will not be smooth sailing either. There are bound to be a price that we need to pay, pain we need to endure, troubles we have to face. We will suffer because the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. And Peter warned us not to be surprised to endure suffering in serving the Lord, because such is the calling to follow the footsteps of Christ. And He has set the example by giving Himself up to suffer for us. When we pray, we would like to be more Christ-like. We would like, or we love to exhibit the humility, the gentleness, and the love of God, of Christ. By the same token, we will suffer because Christ has suffered for us. Students are not greater than the teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. When we are baptized into Christ, we declare that we are willing to follow Christ, and this includes the willingness to die, to be buried, and to rise again with Christ. So, brothers and sisters, when we choose to serve the Lord, we are on a narrow path and will definitely be challenged with many difficulties. We will feel hurt, perhaps to the point that we feel that we cannot stand on it anymore. But please remember, we should not just dwell into the present moment, the present pain and suffering. Look onwards towards the glory of Christ's resurrection. Without Christ's sacrifice on the cross, there won't have been any resurrection. But without His resurrection, we will not have salvation. So Paul told us that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So if we focus on the troubles that we may have to face, we would be scared to move on. We would have lost the battle even before it started to begin. And Satan will use all these difficulties to scare us, hoping to defeat us to follow Christ. And that is why Paul asks us always to fix our eyes on the above. Focus on what we cannot see. Seek what is eternal and not temporary. Only fix our eyes on what is eternal. In that case, we will see the living Christ, the resurrected Christ, and also the glory of Christ. And in John, Jesus proclaimed, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." And remember, we are living in a place that is like a crack between the secular world and the Holy Kingdom, and we are caught in between. We will suffer, but we also have the hope. And knowing that Christ is the victor and has conquered death, He is our hope and He is our shepherd. He will guide us and see us through what we will go through here on earth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you. We know that we are in a difficult position these days. We are in the crack. And we are weak, we are timid, and we ask for your help and presence to be with us. And let us know that you are with us, and you are the victor, and you have conquered death and the world. As long as we can follow you closely, surrender ourselves to you, then we see that you are with us and guide us to be on the victorious side. We thank you for choosing us, calling us to be your child. We ask all this in your name. Amen.